Well, good morning again. We're going to be continuing on in our series in the book of Ruth that has the theme of the best is yet to come. And they've kind of been looking at the whole theme of being faithful or dealing in the midst of struggle and suffering. And we've seen here how Naomi and Ruth have had to struggle and suffer some, that as they had gone to another, Naomi had gone to another country and had... She and her husband, and they had two sons, and their sons got married, and then the husband died, and then the sons died, and so she was left with just herself and her daughters-in-law, and so she and one daughter-in-law decided to come back to the country of Israel where she was originally from, but the daughter-in-law was from Moab, so she was a foreigner. And so now they are trying to eke out a living, and the last chapter we saw that... Ruth went out, Ruth is the daughter-in-law, she went out to glean in a field to try and get some grain, trailing after the people who were harvesting. And she found favor in a man named Boaz, who told him to glean in his field. And so through this we've seen that God can provide even in the midst of difficult situations. And so that was chapter 1 and 2, and we're going to be going into chapter 3. And if any of you have been reading along, as was suggested to do, you'll know that chapter 3 is kind of odd in some of the stuff that's in here. And as we read through it, we'll see that there's a lot of cultural things and traditional things that sound very strange to us, but probably made a lot more sense to them. And so we'll try and explain those as we go through. And then one of the things we're going to do as we go through this is we're going to look at the three main characters. We're going to look at Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, and we're going to look at some of the ways that they exhibited faith in the midst of the difficulties that they had. And we're going to kind of look at three different views of the faith that they had and of the character they displayed, and some of the things that hopefully we can learn from there as people who are trying to follow after God. So before we dive into chapter 3, though, I want to back up. There's a few key points in chapter 2 that I want to just review with you, some of the things that Matthew covered last week, and maybe some things that he didn't emphasize because it really wasn't as important for the points he was making. And so if you want to go to Ruth, if you have one of the small black Bibles, it's page 223. And I know a lot of you are like, well, sometimes I follow, sometimes I don't. This is a good day to get your Bible out and turn to Ruth 2 and 3, because as we do this, it's a great story. And I'm going to be carrying you through the story, and I would like you to be reading the story with me. So page 223, if you have one of the regular black Bibles, if you have a large print, it's 264. If you have your own Bible, it is wedged in between the books of Judges and 1 Samuel. Or yeah, just do it on your phone. If you got a phone, you can do that too. I'm going to be reading in the New American Standard Version. You might have some different versions. That's okay. So for the first thing I want to highlight, so we're backing up to chapter 2. So actually, if I gave you those page numbers, you're going to have to back up just a little bit to get to chapter 2. And the first verse I want to just highlight is verse 2, where it says, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. So the first thing we see is Ruth is willing to go out and work. She's got some character here that she's willing to go out and do what needs to be done. And this is going to show up again in the favor that she has. So you see Ruth is someone who's ready to work and to do what needs to be done. A few verses later, we find Boaz. In verse 4, it says, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers. So they're out in the fields. Boaz lives in Bethlehem. He's out in the fields, and he's got his threshing floor and everything out there. And he says to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. And so one of the things that, you know, they didn't have to record this, that Boaz said it, but I think it just underscores that Boaz was a guy who really appreciated the Lord. And he loved the Lord, and he wanted his people. He wasn't ashamed to talk about God in front of someone else or in front of his people. So he had that character of a godly man. And then right after that in verse 5, Boaz says to his servant who is in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Now here's an important point I want to make. And I'm going to do something that I normally say don't do. Okay, I'm going to inject my opinion into the story. And usually it really rubs me the wrong way when preachers say, well, he was probably thinking this, or he was probably wanting that. We don't know exactly what they were thinking or wanting, okay? But I'm going to do some of that anyways because it really helps to get your mind thinking about this story. But one of the things is that he says, whose young woman is this? And it is definitely a fact that Ruth was quite a bit younger than Boaz. How much younger, we don't know. But she was younger. I would conjecture that she was probably young enough to be his daughter and he was old enough to be her father. Because it had said previously that Boaz was a relative of Elimelech, who Elimelech was Naomi's husband, right? So it's very likely that he's of that same generation of Naomi and Elimelech, which would mean that he's of that older generation, a whole generation ahead of Ruth. And so when he sees this young woman, it's like, well, whose young woman is this? Who is this gal that's in my field? And then they explain it. And so if you jump down to verse 11, he tells Ruth, you know, go ahead and glean and you know, stay in my field and do this. And so she says, why are you being so nice to me? And in verse 11, it says, Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work, your wages be full from the Lord and God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. So, you know, Bethlehem is not a large town. People know who's who and what's going on. And so Boaz has heard of Ruth's great loyalty to Naomi and of her willingness to come and leave a land and to come under Israel. But the other thing that I think he really takes note of is this. When it has that section, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. And earlier, you know, the famous passage is that Ruth says to Naomi, where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. You will be, your God will be my God. And actually, if you back up, she actually says in verse 17 of verse 1, he says, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord, and it's that L-O-I-R-D in large letters, which means Yahweh, it's his name. Thus may Yahweh do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you from me. So before they ever came home, Ruth is saying, my God is going to be Yahweh, the God of Israel. This is the God that I want to come and be a part of. This is why I'm coming back to Bethlehem with Naomi. And Boaz hears this, that she came partly because she wants to have the God of Israel. And so that impresses him greatly. And so right after that, we see that Boaz has lunch with her. He talks to her. He makes great provision for her to be on his property and to have all of the gleaning that she wants and then some. He tells her men to protect her. Okay, so the bottom line is Boaz really likes this gal. He's really impressed with her. And he really wants to take care of her and make sure she's taken care of because she's got a great reputation as someone who is really doing the right thing. He's probably impressed that she's out there foraging it to begin with. So he likes this gal. Now, is there anything romantic going on here? We don't know. But I would say the age difference is probably such that he's just going, this is such a neat young lady. Wow, she's just really amazing. He might be thinking, if I was younger, she might be my kind of girl. But we don't know that for sure. So we kind of come in with this background of, you know, Ruth has some great character. Boaz really is impressed with her. He really likes her. He likes the fact that she wants to come under the wings of Israel and the wings of Yahweh to be protected. And so the next thing we see leading into our story is that Ruth goes home and explains this to Naomi. And Naomi says, well, who is this? And she says, well, it's Boaz. And so Naomi is just totally excited, right? And so she says this in verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. This man is our relative, and he was one of our closest relatives. So she's really excited that you know, Ruth was able to find this person. And one of the things that really strikes me in this, and when we talk about how people respond in faith to hardship, is this. Naomi suddenly blurts out, blessed is the Lord, right? He hasn't withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Now, what did she say last week? Call me Mara, my name, because I'm bitter. I've just had bitterness in my life. And you know what? We do the exact same thing, I think. When we run into hardship, oh, things are hard, and you know, we kind of do the Eeyore thing, like Matthew said last week, and I don't know if I can make this, and I'm going to do it, and then God comes through, and it's like, I knew God could do it all along. Really, that didn't seem to be how we were acting last week, and we've all done this. I know I do this, and so what it looks like is she has a very reactive faith, right? Her faith just reacts to the circumstance. But I would say that a reactive faith is not faith. That's just reaction. Real faith is believing in something even before it comes through or knowing that it's there no matter what. For example, how many of you would assume that the Mississippi River is flowing down there right now, yes? Right? Okay, if the weather changes, does that stop the Mississippi from flowing? If I go to the hospital and get hit by a truck, is that going to stop the Mississippi from flowing? We still believe that no matter what, the Mississippi flows, right? We have faith that it flows despite our circumstances. We should have the same kind of thing with God. That no matter what is happening in our life, we still know God is there and He is in control and He is moving things according to His plan as sure as the Mississippi continues to flow no matter what. Naomi, on the other hand, has this kind of flippy, wishy-washy faith that says, well, maybe it's flowing and maybe it's not, and it kind of depends on my circumstances, and oh, here we go, this is great. We've got this great relative, and praise the Lord for this. And so with this, with Naomi excited about finding this relative, with Boaz being impressed with Ruth, and with Ruth being this diligent, faithful person, we can finally go into chapter 3. Right? And we're going to read a verse and a half, and we're going to stop. Okay, that's how far we're going to get. So it says in the beginning of 3, when Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, she said, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Okay, so Ruth, it says in the previous chapter that Ruth continued throughout the barley harvest. So now she's been out there day after day, probably for a number of weeks. And Naomi gets this idea of, we've got this relative here, and I should probably look out for you as my daughter-in-law. There might be a little bit of I should look out for myself, but let's give her the benefit of the doubt that she cares for Ruth deeply, and she wants to see Ruth taken care of. She's a widow. She needs someone to take care of. And so she says, is not this Boaz our kinsman? So here's the important thing that comes into here that you need to understand from a cultural perspective. And you will find, depending on your translation, they will use the word kinsman, they will use the word relative, and they will use the word redeemer. Or they might use a relative redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, or any combination of those. And the idea is this. In the law, in Deuteronomy, God had made a provision that if there was a lady from a family whose husband died and did not have children, that one of the brothers should then get her pregnant so that there would be children for that line. Because in that day, lineage was extremely important. And you wanted to have a legacy and you wanted to have heirs. That was the most important thing, that you have children and maybe hopefully a lot of them, and you have a big family to show that you are a successful parent. And so the kinsman redeemer principle, or this relative redeemer, is that a brother would sleep with a sister-in-law who was not able to carry his brother's name on. And so if it's not a brother, then it starts going to the line of which relative is the next closest one. And so here is this principle where Naomi knows this, and she knows that Boaz could possibly be in the role of a kinsman redeemer close relative that should be the one to carry on the line. And really what's at stake here isn't just Ruth, it's Elimelech's line, right? It's Naomi's husband. Elimelech has no children for that line. And here's the only chance for that line to have children would be for Ruth to be able to have children, to carry on that family name. And so Boaz is a person who potentially could fulfill that role. And so she's excited about this, and so she wants to see if she can kind of get this together. So she hatches this plan. Now we're going to read the plan, and we're going to read kind of the beginning of how it of Ruth doing it. But it's a weird plan. I'm going to warn you up front, okay? So let's see what this plan is. So, she says in the second half of verse 2, Boaz, behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you shall do. Ruth said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to what her mother-in-law commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and laid down. Okay, so what is going on here? So first of all, Naomi kind of knows, because this is tradition, she knows what Boaz is going to do tonight because it's the barley season. In the barley season, the owners of the field or the people in the field would go down and they would work their threshing floor. It's just like here, right? When the corn is ready to go, you harvest corn, right? You get all the combines you can and you get them out there while the moisture is right and everything. Same thing there. They're pulling the barley as much as they can and they want to thresh it here and now. So they're working long hours. And so when he's done working, he's not going to go home back to Bethlehem. He's just going to sleep on the threshing floor. She also knows that this is a time of celebration. The harvest is in. So they would kind of work hard and reward themselves hard. So he'd be working hard at threshing, and when he's done, he's got all this barley, he's got great meal, he'd have a big meal, he'd have some wine, and then he'd put himself down to sleep. She also knew that when they would sleep, most people in those days wore the long robes, right? And when you lay down to sleep, the robe may or may not cover your feet. All right, if you had a longer robe, the robe, you would just push it over your feet to cover them up. If not, you might take an outer garment or a vest or a cloak or a blanket or something, and you'd cover up your feet. So this is the idea that when she would uncover the feet, right? It's that's why, because they're covered up with this robe. There's also another very important symbolism there that we're going to talk about. But why this plan? Why go at night when it's nobody's around and all this kind of stuff? Well, we don't know for sure, but here's a couple things to think about. One is Naomi could have gone to the town elders and said, my daughter is here, Elimelech needs a progeny, and so he needs a lineage. Somebody needs to fulfill the kinsman redeemer role. All right? Which would have really just been pushing the whole situation. The other thing is, depending on how those relative lines work, Boaz may or may not be the next closest relative. And so now she doesn't necessarily know if he's going to end up with Ruth or not. But she knows that Boaz and Ruth are already very fond of each other, at least have a great appreciation. So she's avoiding the big spectacle scene. She could have sent Ruth down, you know, with her nice clothes and said, just walk right up to him and say, hey, would you be my redeemer? That's a little awkward as well, right? What she does is she allows Ruth to go in the most humble fashion possible and allows Boaz really an opportunity to say no without having to lose face with anyone. So Naomi is very, very smart about this, actually. And so when she tells Ruth to lay at his feet, people who laid at the feet of someone was the servant lays at the feet of a master. The servant sleeps at the feet of the master, so he's there. She put herself into the place of a servant to say, you know what, I'm a foreigner, I don't deserve anything, I'm just going to come in humbly. And I think Naomi probably also knew that Boaz is a soft-hearted guy who likes gentleness, he likes humility. So why would she send anyone in a way that is demanding or assuming anything? She sends in Ruth in this very, very humble manner to just go and lay down, uncover his feet, and wait to see what happens. And so that's what happens, is they do that. And so she uncovers his feet and lays down. And we're going to see what this uncovering his feet thing is in just a second. So in verse 8 and 9, it happened in the middle of the night. The man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Now that little sentence that she just said is packed, okay? And we're going to unpack it here. So he says, "Who are you?" First she says, what, "I'm your maid," or some of your translations probably say, "I'm your servant." She is saying, "I'm just willing to be a servant here. I'm not expecting anything." And then she says, "So spread your covering over your maid." Now this word covering, okay, remember the feet had been uncovered, right? The word covering can mean two different things in Hebrew. One, it can mean the corner of a garment. It can also mean a wing. And in fact, some of your translations say, "Put your wing over me." Okay? So what she is saying is this. She's saying, and put your covering over me, for you are a close relative, for you are the one who could redeem me. So she's saying, basically, I've uncovered your feet. Don't just cover your feet again. Cover me, please. Would you be my covering? You told me, you blessed me by saying that I was coming under the wings of Yahweh. Could I come over under your wing? Would you put your wing over me to protect me? And a lot of commentaries and stuff will say, well, that basically she was asking him to marry her. Yes and no. Because it's not like we would think. In our day, it's, you know, like the woman going forward and, you know, will you marry me, and handing him a ring. No, she is saying, will you take me in? Are you willing to be my kinsman redeemer? And so it's a very, very humble thing that she is doing. And so what, and it's all hanging right there. She lays it all out there. Will you be my kinsman redeemer? Will you take me under your wing? And will you, instead of, so far he's been covering her, right? By being nice to her, making sure she's taking care of the field. Will you just do that permanently as my covering? And so now she waits for the answer. Could you imagine how nervous she is waiting for the answer? So I'm going to stop here and let you think about that. While we think about this, I want to just, what strikes me about Ruth in the midst of all of this hardship they've been through, when we look at her faith, she consistently is exhibiting a faith of humble obedience, of humility and obedience. You know, and on top of that, because she obeys, you know, God first of all, but, you know, she's got that humility to follow Naomi home. She's got that willingness to go and work and just be humble. She's not above working and going out there and doing something. She obeys Naomi when she tells her to go down to the threshing field. She obeys Boaz when he says, here, come into my field and glean. And so this whole time, she's just doing what she needs to do humbly and quietly and with great excellence of character. Even Boaz said, it's been reported to me how great you've been. The other thing she does in the midst of this, and so first, well, let me back up. First thing I want to say is this. When you are faced with hardship, are you willing to have some humility and obedience? Because when we face hardship, it is often that we want to fight back. We want to push. We want to make something happen. And she really just does what she needs to do. She goes out and she starts gleaning and winnowing. She just starts taking care of what needs to be taken care of. And I think that in the midst of our difficulties sometimes, it is doing the mundane that is the most faithful thing we can possibly do. It is just taking care of the day-to-day things well that is the best thing we can do. And I think a lot of times God rewards our willingness to be humble and just do the things we need to do well more than his desire for us to go out and do something amazing and huge and awesome for him to try and prove that we're better than this situation we've gotten ourselves into, or the situation that's even come to us, whichever way that is. But the other thing that in the midst of this humble obedience, she still is willing to take some risks. You know, she didn't have to go out to the field, and it was a risk. We find out it was a risk because last week Boaz told her, stay with my young men so you don't get accosted by someone else. So she knew when she was going out to winnow that she was putting herself at risk. She's a foreigner with no one to cover her, and apparently an attractive young lady from another country. Boy, what a target for some guy who's got bad intentions. And she's not a dummy, she knows that, but she takes the risk to go out there and just do what she needs to do. What a great risk, right, to go down to Boaz and ask for that covering. And sometimes we need to be willing to step out in the midst of our hardship and not step out necessarily and do crazy things, which this whole thing with Boaz looks kind of crazy, and maybe it is a little bit, but it has a little bit of wisdom behind it from Naomi. But I think as Christians, a lot of times when we're faced with hardship, we kind of go from one extreme to the other. Either we kind of shrivel and we do absolutely nothing, or we frantically try and fix it. And neither one of those is helpful. Really, what we probably need to do is do what we do, and then if an opportunity arises to step out in faith, step out in faith. And you know, back to that whole thing about the river flowing, right, and faith being faith no matter what. she had no guarantee that Boaz was going to accept her. She had no guarantee that she wouldn't be accosted. And when we step out in faith, sometimes these little faith steps, the real faith is that trusting God that no matter what the outcome, He is still God. And we have the hardest time getting that into our heads. Because we think that stepping out in faith means that now God's got to do what I'm doing because I'm stepping out in faith and so God's on my agenda now because I'm stepping out on faith. And if He doesn't come through, then we just get mad or pouty or whatever. She had to be as willing to accept a no from Boaz as a yes. She had to be as willing to provide for her mother-in-law that she would put her own self at risk and she might have gotten it. So as we deal with the hardships and step out in our own faith, doing the mundane things, and then maybe seeing that opportunity to take a risk, if that doesn't work out, you can't get mad at God. You have to trust God. The real faith is that even though it doesn't work out, God is still God. And the river is still flowing, right? And so she puts this out there. Will you be my covering? Will you take me in? Then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown lasting kindness, this last kindness to be better than the first by going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know you are a woman of excellence. So my paraphrase of this is this. She says, Boaz, will you cover me? Will you be my covering? And he says, are you kidding me? You want me? You're this young woman who could have young men, poor and rich, whatever you want, and you're taking me? May the Lord bless you. Yes, I'll do whatever you ask. He is absolutely blown away to think that this young lady would accept him at his age. Because something that we need to remember is in the midst of talking about suffering and all that sort of thing, what is Boaz's suffering? The guy's rich. He's got fields and everything. He's got it all, right? What's he missing? He has no legacy, does he? Who inherits this? In a place where we just said inheriting this is ridiculously important. Who's he going to give it to? Who's he spending his life with? And in the midst of this, maybe even in the back of his mind, he's thinking, I'm too old now. Nobody's going to take me at my age. And yet here's this young lady, this impressive young lady saying, you want me to cover you? Really? And he's just blown away by this. Which to me makes the story just beautiful, romantic, and poignant and everything, doesn't it? It's just a great story. So then he goes on to say this in verse 12. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So we find out this twist in the story. There is another redeemer. There is a closer relative that has a greater responsibility. And yet, and Boaz wants to make sure that this leader, this other relative, wants to make claim or not. So here's the thing that we see in Ruth kind of has this humble obedience that just kind of is steadfast in what she does. And what we've seen consistently with Boaz in the midst of everything is this righteousness, a steadfast righteousness to do the right thing and to follow God. He starts out by blessing his guys every morning. Hey, may the Lord be with you. You know what? Here's a guy who could have been grumpy. I don't have an heir. Okay, guys, let's just do this again. I don't have anybody that's going to, I have no reason to be doing this anyways, but let's just do it. But no, he's faithful, and he treats his men well. He treats her well. He doesn't ever know if he's going to, if this is going to happen. He's blown away by the thought. So it seems to me it's never crossed his mind that this young lady, he's just taking care of her and doing the right thing. He's a nice guy who does the right thing and does what God wants him to do. Even down to here, as blown away as he is, as excited as he is at the prospect, as pleasing as this seems that Ruth wants to be with him, he's willing to let her go for the sake of the law. If there's another redeemer and he'll redeem you, if this closer relative will take you, good. At least you'll be taken care of. He has put her welfare ahead of his desire, because that's what God says in his word to do. And so he's righteous through this whole thing of standing on the word and doing the right things, being an upstanding great guy despite the fact that he's got this one huge hole in his life up to this point. So he tells her to lie down in the morning. In verse 14 he says, "So she lay at the feet in mourning and rose before one could recognize one another, for he said, 'Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor.'" So trying to be discreet here, you know, trying not to cause a fuss with anyone. He wants to be able to go to the elders and talk to them about it. Again, he said in verse 15, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" I have a feeling it was a lot more tension behind her than that. I'm sure she was dying to find out how things went. And she told all the man had done, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" So even in the midst of this, here's Boaz, right? You know what? He's got this opportunity to maybe marry Ruth and to have a progeny and to have a line, but he still doesn't forget Naomi. And I kind of wonder if maybe Boaz kind of knew that Naomi was behind the plan anyways. He's a pretty smart guy. And so here, you know, don't forget your mother-in-law. It's almost like, you know, here, take this to your mother-in-law. Let her know I'm thinking of her. I haven't forgotten her. I know she's out there. But he is also telling her, if I'm going to take care of Ruth, I'm going to take care of you. And that's a big weight off for Naomi, because Naomi has nothing. She's a widow with no one to take care of her either. And so Naomi says in verse 2, she says, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how this matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." So again, Naomi knows Boaz's character. He is a man of action, and he is going to take care of this matter. He is motivated to make sure that it happens. And now we stop, because that's the end of the chapter. And you have to come back next week to find out what really happens. Right? Will there be another Redeemer? Will the Redeemer take it? Will he take it in? Will they get married? Will they be able to have children? And what about Naomi? Only a few of you know that one. Folks, what we learn from this, though, is this. When you're in the midst of hardship, when you're in the midst of struggle, we can't have a wishy-washy faith that just reacts to what's going on around us. We've got to have a steadfast faith that allows us to just do the things we're supposed to do. Both Ruth and Boaz, in their own way, just consistently did the stuff they were supposed to do. And the only thing out of the ordinary in any of this, really, is the manner in which Naomi had Ruth go and speak to him. But even that came out of just a natural thing where Ruth was being obedient to do what she needed to do, and he was just doing what he needed to do. And folks, sometimes I think if we would just do what we need to do, we would allow God to work for us and through us a whole lot easier than either climbing up or frantically trying to fix something. And the best way to do that is to trust that no matter what happens, God is still God. The river is still flowing. Nothing has changed. And in the midst of that, as we've been saying, the best is yet to come, right? The best is that God is in control, and whether it looks bad or whatever now, in the end, he takes care of it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you do amazing things, and sometimes it's putting together things like in this story. But Father, I ask that you would help us to focus less on what these people did and more on what we need to do. So for those of us who are struggling or have an issue of hardship or have something that's just causing us great pain and hardship, help us to continue on in steadfast faith, in humble obedience, to just do the things we need to do and do them with joy. Like Boaz, every morning, may the Lord bless you and be with you. Help us to have that attitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.